we are in the middle of a series, believe it or not. It's called Roots and Branches. Now, we started this a couple of weeks ago. We started it with Mother's Day, and we talked about the importance of moms. Last week was Pentecost Sunday, and we talked about the importance of being empowered by the Holy Spirit so that we can produce fruit according to what God wants. And I thought, you know what? I haven't had really a chance to explain what Roots and Branches is all about. Why are we doing this series, and what's it really all about? Well, the main thing about Roots and Branches and what we really want to focus on here is having a healthy family. Having a healthy family. Now, the Florida Senator Marco Rubio said this: the most important institution in society is the family. If the family breaks down, society breaks down. Pope Francis, like him or not, this is what he said. He says, the family remains the basic unit of society and the first school in which children learn the human, spiritual, and moral values which enable them to be a beacon of goodness, integrity, and justice in our communities. Listen, even Lenin, and I'm not talking John Lennon, I'm talking Vladimir Lenin, said this. He says, destroy the family and you destroy the society. The family is an incredibly important unit within our society, and it's got to be strong. And every family at every level needs to be highlighted. Now, some of you are sitting there and you're going, I'm single here today. This is not going to apply to me. Come on, just stick with me. We'll get some stuff in there that will be pertinent to you as well. So what we want to do is we want to talk about the importance of having a healthy family and how we go about doing that. You with me? You okay? How about we start with prayer? God, I thank you for today. I thank you for the opportunity of worshiping together. Here we are to worship. Here we are to bow down, as the song said. And we want to worship you, not just on a Sunday morning, but wherever we find ourselves, in our homes, and wherever we are, God, that we would be people that would be worshipers in everything we do. So God, I pray, would you be glorified as we take time to look at this here this morning, in Jesus' name, amen. Listen, in order for there to be a healthy family, it's got to start with healthy roots. Healthy roots. I am so grateful for my heritage. I'm grateful that I've come from a Christian family, that my roots actually go back quite a ways. Actually, I said this here before. I know my Christian roots go back at least to the 1500s. Because we used to have a Bible in our home, well, my dad's home, back in Poland, which was, the name was Heinrich Dase, and the date was 1529. And we've been looking for that Bible for a very long time. We believe it was burnt. There's only 5 of them produced like that in the world. When we were in Germany in 2008, Dad and I, there is a Bible display out there, and we found a Bible that looks something like it. I've got a picture of it up there. And it was about this big, big, thick, big Bible with old Gothic writing and with a brass buckle and wooden corners and all that. And inside, go to the next slide, inside there was pictures that were painted very similar to this one. This one was about 1425 to 55 was this Bible. But I'm so grateful for my Christian heritage. And if your heritage goes back a generation or 2 or 10 or whatever, thank the good Lord for that. But you may be sitting here and saying, man, my heritage doesn't go back at all. My parents don't even believe in the Lord. I stand alone. Well, here's what I want to encourage you. Why not start? Why not start that heritage now? Why not start it with you? And you know, you can do that, and it starts by us having a right attitude when it comes to having our roots in the right place. We got to be in the right soil, first of all. Grab your Bibles. I know you got them. If you don't, please bring them on Sundays. And go to Psalm chapter 1. Psalm 1. And I love this psalm. It's one of the first psalms that I memorized. And I love what it says in Psalm 1, verse 1. It says this. It says, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. See, first of all, you got to be planted in the right soil if you are going to produce the right fruit. And we'll talk about that in a second. Your roots got to be in the right soil. It's interesting. And I talked to our youth about this a while back. It's interesting, the progression here. Do you see it? Blessed is the person who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked. Now, look, just imagine what's going on here. You've got somebody that's walking along and kind of walking beside people that they probably shouldn't be hanging around with. And they're walking with them and they're chatting and they're getting used to talking to them. And then it says, or stands in the way of the sinner. The progression is they stop and they begin to communicate. So now they're starting to get a little bit deeper and they're talking together. And I feel comfortable here. It feels good just to be in this person's presence. And there's a natural negative progression. And it says, or sit in the seat of the mocker. See, what happens after a while is that when we are walking in the counsel of the wicked, when we are standing and communicating and enjoying the talk that's probably not healthy for us, it doesn't take long that we sit down and we just really feel comfortable and we become a mocker just like they are. Look at those guys out there going to church on Sunday. Look at those guys. Who do they think they are? This God that and we it becomes a natural progression, which isn't a healthy thing at all. Watch out where you put your roots, folks. Watch out in the areas that you're finding yourself in. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33. You know this well. Do not be misled. What? Bad company, what? Corrupts good character. Bad company corrupts good character. Make sure you surround yourself with the right soil, with the right people, the right situations, and plant yourself in those kind of environments. Secondly, you got to have the right diet. You got to have the right soil. You got to have the right diet. Now, I'm not talking about eating your veggies, which is a good idea, but I'm talking about the right spiritual diet. It's interesting, you know, because if you really think about it, if you eat the right diet, you're going to do really, really well. Let me let you in on a little secret. There is a diet out there that's better than Atkins. Y'all remember the Atkins diet? There's a diet out there that is better than protein diets. It's better than no protein diets, better than carbs, no carbs, hot chocolate, chocolate, whatever the diets are. There's a diet out there that is so much better than all of that. It's not rocket science here, folks. That diet is verse 2 in Psalm chapter 1. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law does he meditate day and night. The delight in taking the word of God and saying, God, I want to learn this. I want to internalize it. I want to go to here and find out what you have to say to me here today. And meditating upon that, looking at, I love to take, you know, sometimes we feel like we've got to go from cover to cover as quick as possible, finish the Bible in a month. Has anybody ever read the Bible from cover to cover in a month? In a year? Yeah, in a year it's good. It's good to read the Bible from cover to cover, but sometimes it's good to just read a verse and begin to consider what it's saying to you. I'm wondering when you look at your life, I'm wondering what's the last thing that God has shown you through that book? What's the last thing that God has taught you in this book that you have really internalized and you're able to pass it on maybe to a family member? See, I don't want to sound trite or don't want to sound like cliche, but see, if you don't eat, you're going to get sick. You're going to get weak, right? So, Herb, where's Herb? He's probably someplace else counting money or something. Herb and I, we did this thing a number of years ago when we were building this church. And we decided to go on a 3-week cleansing fast. You don't just jump into a 3-week cleansing fast, just so you know. But I did. I thought, man, if Herb can do it, I can do it. So I jumped into this thing. And I was in about the week 2.5. And we were out here working on this on the church here. And I'm up on this ladder. I don't know who it was, but somebody was down below me. I think it was even Trees. I'm not sure. But I'm like, whoa, life is good. It wasn't so good. And I was seriously seeing things that I shouldn't be seeing. I was really, really weak. If you don't eat properly, you're going to get weak. If you don't eat properly spiritually, folks, you're going to get weak. Are you hearing me? Are you following me? And so we need to be eating the right diet. We need to be feeding daily on the Word of God. So we got to have the right diet. It says here in Colossians chapter 2, verse 6, see, it's not just the Word, but the Word. That means Jesus himself we got to be feeding on. It says here in verse 6 of chapter 2 of Colossians, so then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthening in the faith as you were taught and overflowing with thanksgiving. Rooted and built up in the Word, in the person of Jesus. When I was growing up, we attended this church and we occasionally had testimony times. Remember those testimony times? I love testimony times. I love doing it here. If God's been doing something in your life, please let me know. Everybody wants to know about it. I think it's very exciting. But I remember the testimony times, and bless their hearts, we had some wonderful people that would get up and they would share a testimony. Back in 1948, God came through for me, hallelujah, and I experienced the presence of Jesus. And I'm like, praise God for what he did back in 48, but what's he doing last week? What did he do for you yesterday? What's he doing for you right now? How are you experiencing Jesus' presence in your life right now? See, folks, we gotta be into Jesus. I think if we were be more into Jesus, then man, I think we could experience some incredible things here as a church. But having the right diet. Lastly, we have to have healthy roots. You gotta have the right support. Says he should be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. I'll talk about that more in a minute. I don't know if you know this about trees, but trees require cross-pollination. Did you know that? That means that some trees, such as the apple tree and pear tree, they gotta be within the close vicinity of another tree of similar in order so that when pollen flies, they can be feeding off of each other. I don't know how it all works. I'm not a botanist or whatever they call themselves. But I know that there's a requirement for trees to be in close vicinity. You know, I think that's a good illustration for us as a church. That we need to be in close proximity and close communication with each other. We need a little bit of cross-pollination when it comes to believers. Encouraging each other, feeding on each other's strengths. You know, what I love about the Indian community, we have lots of Indians that live around our home, and I love watching grandpa and grandma pushing the stroller of their little kids. I think that's great. I don't think it's just about free babysitting. I think what it is, it's teaching these children to have respect and investing into their lives. I think that's so, so important. See, and I think that's important in the family, and I think it's important in this family as well. See, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 says, let us consider how we may spur one another. I love that, spur. What a great illustration. We think that's such a, come on, you can keep going, just keep doing it. A spur is you kick somebody in the side, right? You know what a spur is, right? Get moving, right? Spur one another. Okay, don't do that to your person next to you. That's not a good thing, unless they're falling asleep. You can spur one another toward love and good deeds. Let us not, listen, verse 25, let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us what? Encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. We need that encouragement. We need that support. We need each other. 1 Peter 4:10 says this, each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in various forms. One author, I love the way he put it. He says, you know what? If you want to be successful, if you truly want success, the keys to success in your life is, first of all, build on your own strengths. You've got them, build on them so that your weaknesses become irrelevant. You know what? Sometimes we get so consumed with our weaknesses and making them stronger and so forth that we forget about our strengths. Build on those strengths. And secondly, the second rule for a success is team up with people who are good at what you're not good at. I'm so glad I've got people in my office that are good at some stuff that I'm really not good at. Administration is one of those things that I need a lot of prayer in. But we need that pollination, folks. We need that encouragement. We need that support. Did you know one of the largest trees in the world is the sequoia tree? I got a picture up there of the sequoia tree. It can grow up to 310 feet tall. It's a big tree. Now, next picture is a picture of a guy by the name of Shaq O'Neal. Shaq O'Neal is anybody know who he is? He's a basketball player. But you know what, if you take Shaq O'Neal, and if you were to put him beside one of these sequoia trees, one of the big ones, and you were to pile them up, go to the next slide, you were to pile them up one on top of each other, there you go, there he is, you would need 45 of him to reach the top of the tree. Actually, if you were to put my wife there, you'd probably need 145, but that's another story. She's not here, so. This is a big tree. It's a very, very big tree. It can be up to 40 feet or more wide. That's twice the width of my house. These trees can weigh up to 2 million pounds. It's a lot of wood. But you know what I find interesting about these trees? Is that when you look at their root system, and I didn't know this, but if you were to look at their root system only goes down about 6 or so feet below the ground, 6 to 12 feet, which isn't very deep for a tree that's 310 feet tall and weighs 2 million pounds. How does this tree keep from falling over in a wind? You know how they do it? The roots spread out like this, and they intertwine with other sequoia trees. And they intertwine with this tree, and this tree, and this tree, and this tree, and this tree. All around, they're intertwining with trees. As much sometimes as 35,000 acres of land is covered by the roots of these trees. So why do I tell you that? See, here's the thing. You may look real strong up above the surface, but your roots, they got to go and deep, and they have to be intertwined with each other. We need each other to stand, folks. We need each other to make it, to go forward. If we don't intertwine, if we try to do it on our own, a heavy wind comes and we're going to topple. Challenges come and we're going to topple. And when the world comes against you and stuff, all sorts of stuff comes, you need each other. So we need that support. Romans 10, 11, verse 16 says, if the root is holy, so are the branches. So let's talk about branches. We talked about roots having importance of having strong roots. Let's talk about shoots. Now, I called it shoots, not branches, because roots, shoots, it rhymes. Just work with me, okay? Work with me. We need healthy shoots. We need healthy roots. If you think of roots, or if you think of shoots or branches when it comes to a family, you think of a family tree, you think of our involvement with our kids, our involvement with our grandkids, our involvement with people within our lived community, our involvement with others around us. I love what Paul says in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 21. He says, our purpose is, as Christ's followers, is to bring glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations forever and ever and ever. In other words, folks, our purpose here is to spread out our influence to people within our immediate community as well as people within our world. Like the sequoia tree whose branches spread way out. I'm wondering how much does your influence spread out? How much are you influencing positively your family? How much are you influencing positively people within your circle around you? I love my wife's family. Now, I have to be on best behavior because Michelle's dad is a missionary and he's a pastor and he's kind of black and white and a lot of stuff. So I'm usually on best behavior. And we have a lot of fun together. But every after getting together as a family, after every day of getting together, we stop, we take some time to sing together, and we always sing the same song, Faithful One, come on, so unchanging, there you go, that one. We always sing that together, and then we end with prayer, because we see the importance of investing in each other in those moments and taking time to pray for one another. I'm wondering, when you look at your involvement in your family, when you look at your involvement in the younger generation, what kind of investment are you making in that family? I said earlier this morning that about our youth right now being out in at History Maker and what God has been doing. And I'm so grateful for that. But see, that comes when we are investing, even a simple thing as you as parents investing some money to get them to History Maker. But we're investing in some ways in our next generation. Can I give you some statistics? I'm going to give them to you anyway. I do a child parent class, right? When there's a baby dedication, I do this class. And some of you have heard these statistics, but I think they're worth repeating. 64%, I think we're frozen or something, I guess, here on the PowerPoint. 64% of all parents admit to spending less than 1 week, 1 hour a week with their kids. Less than an hour a week with their kids. 71% of those same parents admit to spending 15 hours or more watching TV a week. We've got a problem here. You following me? We've got a problem. Here it says 86% of children admit to spending more than 40 hours a week watching TV or playing video games. Here's the thing. Most kids are spending 9 hours a day on their devices, on their electronic devices, these things here. They've got super strong thumbs, I can tell you. But the attention span in some cases and the level of interaction isn't where it should be. And yet, 85% of parents believe they have the primary responsibility of the moral and spiritual development of the child. So the parents are saying, yeah, we got a responsibility. We'll spend 1 hour a week with our kids. They're spending 40 hours a week in front of the TV or in front of the devices, but we're okay with that. But we'll train them up. Listen, we've got a problem if we're not taking time with our children. 66% of those same parents admit to handing off the responsibility to their church. We believe we have to take care of our children, but you know what? Church, you take care of them. Yeah, you do your thing. It's all good. We don't have time right now. We've got our soap opera, whatever it is, we got to watch. And you know, it's interesting. I said this before. I've had people, when I was youth pastor, I've had people come up to me and push their child in my face and say, fix them. And I'm like, really? Eh? Okay, let's think this thing through, okay? Okay, let's just think this thing through. It's Sunday morning. I've been talking for about 20 minutes. You've been focusing in about 13 of those minutes. The rest of the time, you've been watching other stuff. So the average person, when there's the average sermon is about a half hour, okay, to 40 minutes, even with youth. I'm not stupid. I know that of that time, the average student is probably focusing 10 to 15 minutes. So I've got 10 to 15 minutes a week to pour into the life of a student. And I'm going to fix them. Let's think about it. How much time do you have as parents and grandparents? How are you investing? We've got to be investing. Proverbs 22, verse 6. I mean, you know it. It says, train up a, what? Let's read it. Train up a child in the way he should go when he is old. There you go. When he's old, he will not depart from it. Train up a child. There's a book written by a lady by the name of Jana Mungruder, and she says 10 of the biggest influences in the spiritual life of a child. I'll just give you five of those things that she says. She says the child must regularly regularly read his or her Bible while growing up. Something very important for this child to do. Secondly, the child must regularly spend time in prayer growing up. The child must regularly, thirdly, serve in church while growing up. By the way, I'm so grateful for our youth that invest and give in children's ministry and other areas. Parents, like, take notes. Okay, just a side note, they're not here, so I'm just going to talk about them for a second. They're up there teaching, and I think that's great. Really, they should be down here learning. Are you following me? That means you as parents should be up there teaching and taking your turn. Are you following me? We all should be taking our turns there so that they can be here learning and being filled with the Spirit and being moving on in a positive manner. So they need to regularly be serving in the church for which they are. The child listens primarily to Christian music. By the way, there is some good Christian music out there. And we should be encouraging that for our students. Fifthly, the child participates in church missions trips and church projects. I love missions trips, and I love seeing families go together on missions trips. See, if we are pouring these things, if we are encouraging these things in our students, folks, they got a chance. They got a really good chance of making it through some of those storms. And we have to be investing in their lives. We have to be pouring into their lives. How about not just the lives of our students? How about the life of your world around you? I'm so grateful for those that came out yesterday as we went out to Cedar Gardens and just taking some time with those folks and spending some time hearing their stories and flipping burgers and just having some good communication with them. You know, there's a guy, there's a pastor by the name of Luis Palau. Okay, this is his words, okay? I think it's a good quote, but it's his words. He says this, "The church is like manure. Stick with me. Pile it together and it stinks up the neighborhood. Spread it out and it enriches the world." See, what happens too many times is we stick too closely together and it doesn't smell the greatest. I mean, you smell fantastic. But what we should be doing is being spread out into our community and be enriching our neighbors with the wonderful word of God. So I think that when we are reaching out like we should, if our branches are, if we're reaching into our communities, or reaching into our family, or reaching into our world, God can do incredible things and he will help us to produce a lot of good fruit. And really, that's what God wants from us. He wants us to produce healthy fruit. See, a healthy tree that has healthy roots, that has healthy branches, healthy shoots, will at in time produce the right type of fruit. Now, I don't know what kind of fruit you like, but one of my favorite fruits of all time is this right here. You know what I'm talking about? It's watermelon. I think there's nothing like a Oh, wow. I'm sure you want some. It's really sweet. I got a little bit left over. You can come gnubber on it if you wanted to. Have you ever gotten a watermelon that you cut into and it's all chalky? You know what I'm talking about? And it's like, it's got no flavor. It's dry and it tastes gross. You ever get that? Okay, so Michelle's not here. It's good. So we left some watermelon on the counter. And we left it there for a day or so, maybe 2 days. I'm not sure. I can't remember. So the next day, I went and I grabbed some of it. And it was good the day before. It was pretty good. But it had to turn almost into schnapps. And I'm not talking good schnapps. It was not good. It started fermenting. And see, what happens sometimes, folks, is the fruit that we're producing in our lives, it's not so good. It's not the kind of fruit that nourishes others. You know what fruit God wants from us. You know what he says in his words. Galatians 5:22 says what? The fruit, come on, let's read it together. "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control." I'm wondering if I go to somebody that's really close to you, and I would say to them, I'm wondering about you. And I ask them, how much fruit and joy can I see in your life? What would they say to me? What if I ask them, are you a person of peace? Would they say, oh, absolutely. Would they ask you, if I ask, how patient are you? I got to be honest, I'm a little snuppish in that one, okay? I need a little bit of help in that one, okay? But how patient, how kind, how good, how faithful, what kind of fruit is produced in your life? Is gentleness and self-control visible? I think we all have areas that we need to work on. We do. I know I do. But see, here's the thing. When we are taking from the soil that God wants us to be taking from, when we are learning, when we are putting this into practice, the Word of God in our life, when we are doing what we can to build our faith and reaching out in a way that honors God, the right fruit is produced. And it brings great refreshment to those around us. Back to Psalm chapter 1, and I want to end with this. Psalm chapter 1, it says in verse 3, he will be like a tree planted, she will be like a tree planted by streams of water, which yield its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he or she does prospers. See, I believe, folks, if we are taking from the enrichment, and by the way, you can't do this on your own. Jesus himself said that you are the branches. He's the vine. You gotta be taken from him. He says, apart from me, you can do what? Nothing. So we got to be planted deep. But if we're planted in the places God wants us to be planted in, we will yield the right type of fruit. Our leaf, our exterior, who we are as an individual will be something that will be enticing, will be something that will draw people not just to you, but to God ultimately. I love that. Whatever he does prospers. I think God wants to prosper us in the right areas. I'm not talking about having a mountain of coin. I'm talking about being prosperous in our relationships with him, our relationships with our family, our relationships with our community. So can I ask you to examine your life? I'm going to call the worship team up at this time. I want to ask you, can you examine your life? What's your root system like? What's it like? Where are you planted? What type of nourishment are you taking from the soil? Who are you spending time with? Who are you connected with? Are you connected and taking time with people that will encourage you and enrich your faith? What about what's above the ground? What do people see? When you are involved in work or at school or wherever you are, what kind of representation do you have? How are you reaching out into your family, into your community, into your world? What kind of fruit are you producing in your life? Father, I pray right now in Jesus' name that we would look at each one of our lives, not pointing fingers at anybody else, but looking at ourselves. And God, that we would examine ourselves and see if there are areas in our lives that need to be strengthened. Father, show us if we have planted ourselves in places that it's not healthy for us. Help us to go where you want us to go, to be with people that you want us to be with, and to be an encourager to those around us, especially those in our immediate families. Lord, as we look at our influence, as we look at the way we are involved in our families, if it be our children, our grandchildren, or as children involved with our parents, I pray there would be a positive connection there. And for those families where there has been a breakdown and the connection isn't where it should be, Lord, I pray if you can bring about a complete restoration, I pray for that. If that's not possible, God, if that's been so severed severely, I pray for healing in those difficult situations. But I pray that every one of us would bear that fruit that you mentioned here in Galatians chapter 5, that we would be truly fruitful in the way we present ourselves, in the way we reach out to people around us, in the way we respond to you. God, now as we think about our commitment to our missionaries, I pray, Father, as we give to this missions offering here this morning, Lord, that you would use these funds to bring honor and glory to your name. I pray in Jesus' name.